Joining me on the phone now is Dorothy Scarry, who is the facilitator for the Next Step Forward workshops. Good morning, Dorothy. How are you?
Good morning, Carl. Thank you for having me on the show.
Oh, no problem at all. Thanks for taking some time out of your day. I know you're a bit of a busy woman lately.
Yeah, definitely. Going around delivering these wellbeing and resilience workshops for children going from primary school to secondary school.
So can you tell us a bit about the workshops?
Okay, well, I suppose I've been a fifth and sixth class teacher for the last number of years, and I used to prepare my own class for going into secondary school. The workshops really are taking a form from what I did with the children in my classes in the past. So we look at what is well-being and resilience. That's third to the first section. The children are very well able for the World Health Organization definition, and they really, you know, they love the fact that they're looking at it and dissecting it and figuring it out, and they, you know, apply that to their lives. And then the next section of the workshop, then we look at the stresses in their lives and how it, so it could be, you know, whatever stresses they're going on in their lives. They work in groups with this, and then how it manifests itself, what stress looks like, how does it, you know, what does it appear like? Is it the butterflies in the tummy? Is it the, you know, greasy hair? Is it the angry face? Whatever it is. And then the consequences on their lives for that stressful episode, the consequences in school and the consequences in their home life, you know, the ripple effects of that, the manifestations of stress. And then the next part of the workshop, we look at the very practical aspects then of going to secondary school, all their concerns there. So the children have been doing these workshops in Roscommon alone in the Midlands there in May and June. And the concerns are very real, and the concerns that they have, and it's uniform across the schools and the children, the workshops they've had, they're worried about having more homework, having weekend homework for the first time on Fridays. They're worried about, you know, will they make new friends? You know, they've been in the same school with the same friends for the last few years, and now, you know, they're diverging into different feeder schools. Some of them are worried about what they'll do at lunchtime, who they'll sit with, what way that works, because in primary school they usually eat in a room and then they go out to yard, and it's a very different situation in secondary school. Different things like what their new teachers will be like. You know, they have had the same teacher in primary school. If you're in an urban school, like in Dublin, there'll be all urban schools, you've had the same teacher for the past year, you know, a different teacher, but you've only had eight teachers in your 8-year cycle in primary school. If you're out to rural part of the country, you might have had the same teacher for 2 or 3 years. And what has happened then, you go to secondary school and all of a sudden you have 10 teachers or 8 teachers in one day, and all of those personalities to deal with. So all of those concerns, you know, a huge concern as well for them is the movement between rooms. Will class wait for them? Will they be arriving late in class? There are real concerns, so that the third part of the workshop works on alleviating that and giving them some well-being techniques, you know, to cope with that. And then the next part of the workshop is really, the fourth part would be building positivity, showing them how to, positive psychology, and basically then, I suppose, you know, building their resilience and just a bit of digital awareness and all of that wrapped in. And then we finish off where they build their own personal well-being plan, where they measure themselves and their well-being, and then they make a plan for when things go wrong for them, what they can do, what well-being areas they like or that will help them improve their well-being. And therefore, you're building their resilience. So that's sort of the format of the workshop, Carl. It's been very successful so far. Great feedback. You'll see it on the website, www.nextstepforward.ie, or on our Facebook, Next Step Forward.
And as you were saying, like, you were a teacher, it's obviously, like, it is a very difficult time for students because they kind of really don't know what's happening. Would you find that since doing the workshops, or even over the past few years, it's kind of gotten easier for the students, or there'd be a lot of cases that there'd be more, say, in a year that I'd find it a bit more difficult to transition?
Yeah, it varies, you know, different year groups you think that are going to be okay, and then you know, they're not coming up to the time, they get very nervous. You know, there's ones that maybe are anxious and nervous and, you know, relay that to you in class in September, October, and their parents are, you know, very stressed out at parent-teacher meetings and all. They're like, what schools do we send them to and all the rest? Because that all starts in September, October, November. I mean, schools are decided by then in sixth class. And then you have the kids who are taking it in their stride. And next thing, when it's coming up to May and June, they're very clingy. They don't want to leave their primary school. There's no cap, you know. There really isn't. It's just, I suppose, stress is non-discriminate. It touches everybody at different stages. And it's just, I suppose, in the last few years, Carl, I've noticed an awful lot of well-being issues in the classroom. You know, you're talking about anxiety disorders, eating disorders, insomnia is huge, agitation, school refusal. All of these issues are widespread across the country, and they're not just urban issues, they're rural school issues as well. So it's just, I suppose, if you look at the cases of related stress and the workplace and stress in the world globally, the cases are increasing. And, you know, children, it's impacting on kids as well, whether it's impacting from the home or it's just innate them or the society. Is it digital? Is it the whole digital technology, awareness or lack of awareness, should I say, that they, you know, too much technology? Are their minds just not able to switch off? There's all of these things that have impacted on well-being in kids. And also there's a huge problem that as society, for resilience, we've actually kind of removed the skills of resilience. We didn't, as a society, we didn't mean to, but we've been problem solving for the kids in primary school, post-primary, college for far too long. For over a decade, the psychology out there has been that everyone is a winner and everybody, you know, and what happens then is when a child doesn't go their way at 10 or 12 or at 14 or 16, they're unable to cope because they haven't learned that resilience skill. Oh, this didn't work for me when I was 8, but I did this and the next morning I woke up and it was all okay. How bad I feel and this rotten feeling here that I have, it goes away, do you know? So they haven't got those resilience skills. So we really need to teach them the problem-solving skills. And the great thing is that it's really, really, it's a teachable skill. Resilience is teachable. We can train ourselves to be resilient. Children, adults, you know, I work in workplaces a lot in corporate world as well. And, you know, these are really teachable skills and really transferable skills.
And the workshops as well, they also do from secondary school to college as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, we also run a different workshop for from young adults going from secondary school to college. And their needs are, you know, we look at the workshop format is very similar, except obviously it's age appropriate. I mean, we look at totally different things that are appropriate to children or young adults, will say, going from leaving cert to college. Like, there will be moving from the bricks and mortar of home for the first time, you know, there will be freedom there that they haven't had before, how to manage that, how to manage bills, digital awareness, you know, I mean, what's appropriate to put up out there, and just making them aware that, you know, from, I suppose, an employer's perspective, that, you know, everything is trackable. I mean, there's the information you put on a form when you're applying for a job, and there's all the information that's retrieved on you online now, unfortunately, and just making them aware of that, and just how to be, you know, sexual health and how to be, you know, safe, and all of those things are really important, as well as study tips and how to, you know, manage lectures and that. Yeah, so very similar structure to the other workshop for primary to secondary, but obviously with an age appropriate and more, I suppose, young adult content, you know.
And, like, personally, I found myself that, like, say, when a student as well, I think that because they're kind of forced into making a decision or someone's making a decision for them, it can be quite worse for them. Because, say, for example, like, when I was going from primary to secondary, I know, like, you grow up and your mom or your dad's like, oh, some of the family went here, you're going there as well, trying to kind of following an older sibling and stuff. I noticed as well, even when I came to college, it was like, oh, why don't you go to this college? You like it, you go to this college, do this course, do that course. And I feel that kind of would make it harder for the students. Would it be correct in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the child has to be, or the young adult has to be, part of that decision making. I know I have my own son. He is moving from sixth class to first year now at the end of August. And, you know, obviously there were four or five schools in our area, and I had gone to one and my husband had gone to the other, as it happened, the two main ones. But once he went in, he knew what he wanted. And once we were okay with it, I mean, the schools offer the same curriculum. The teachers have to have a certain standard to teach by. There's a teaching council there. There's ethics. It's the same, you know. So he was very happy. So we went with that and he was content. But I would imagine if you were forced, a school was forced upon you, it would kind of impact on you. I mean, you would be resentful straight away. And, you know, that age of, you know, 11, 12, 13, I mean, it's a huge age for hormones kicking in. And it's a time really where you need to work with your child and connect with them and just take the time and listen to them. I mean, they're really... they really need to be listened to, and their gut, you know, I suppose there needs to be 50-50 there, you know. And if your child really, really is against going to a school, it's a difficult, you know, I personally would listen to them a little bit more. Now, obviously, a parent may know the ins and outs that a child doesn't of a school and etc. But I suppose there's more to a school than the academic, Carl, that's what I'll say. I mean, you know, a huge part is if the school can take care of a child's well-being, if they've good structures there, if it feels homely and warm, if there's a good rapport with teachers. I mean, I called to be in a school, a secondary school there recently, and I was standing waiting, and I just saw the interaction between the students and the teachers and the kind of friendly banter. It was still professional, but there was a recognition, acknowledgement, nods and all the rest of it. And I had occasion to be in a different school, and it was just very businesslike. It's up to you what you want your child to be, you know, privy to or part of, but for me the kind of warm atmosphere in that would always win out, you know. And to your question, I feel sorry for you, Carl, that you didn't get to choose your school or have a big part of it. You felt that it impacted on your well-being though, Carl.
Well, after a while I did get to choose. I eventually, after a few months, convinced my mother that I didn't want to stay in that secondary school, and eventually she took me and put me into the one I wanted.
Yeah, and then, but you see, in that time, it was very unsettling. And I mean, those key months there where you're settling into a place, you know, they're kind of lost and that. So, you know, it is hard. And then you're getting to know a whole new set of teeth. You're transitioning again, Carl. You transitioned. You had to do it all a second time. You know, the first time is difficult enough for many people without having to do it a second time. But I suppose you wanted to move and that, you know, so I suppose you were part of it. You had a part in that. You were righting the wrong earlier. You felt yourself anyway.
That was it, yeah. I think she just didn't want me having too much freedom.
Yeah, and that's it too. I mean, there is a certain thing now where we actually have to, like, if you think about it, the kids in the infant classes, they don't, when they're doing play and shop now, they're tapping with the card. They're not even handing the money because that's all they see is due. Kids don't go down to the local shop with, like, a 50 cent to buy a lollipop. They're going around and they're just throwing what they want in the carts, and it's all, there's none of these interactions that went on one time. Everything has changed and society is changing. So I suppose the freedoms and that, we do have to give them a little bit of freedom, the children, and kids need a small bit of freedom, and it has to be kind of like supervised freedom initially, but we have to let go of the apron strings. And I think that's very hard as a parent to do, to realise that your baby, your child needs to really need to sprint now. And we may not be able to keep up with them, you know, but we have to keep a close distance beside them. That's our job as parents, you know.
Oh yeah, so, that's it, definitely indeed.
Yeah. So basically the workshop is going to be on in the Aspect Hotel there in Dublin on August 16th, Friday, August 16th at 11:30 to 1:30. And I'll be contacting you, Carl, with a discount code for your listeners. And also, I'll talk to you about an offer as well. I'll send you on details on that.
So you have that look to look forward to. But, Dorothy, listen, we're running out of time, so unfortunately I'm going to have to let you go there.
All right. Thank you very much, Carl. Thanks for having me on. Okay.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye.